former U.S. Vice President Al Gore made a presentation of an urgent case in the U.S. Senate. And Al Gore has probably become the most famous face on the campaign for the environment. And in his appearance in the U.S. Senate, he warned that we are now close to the tipping point of irreversibility. Ang sabi niya, malapit na tayo sa punto na hindi na mababawi ang nangyayari sa kapaligiran ng mundo. And when the planet will be on the road to self-destruction, he said, if nothing is done now. Now, it is a good thing that such a noble cause as the environment can have advocates of such well-known personalities as Al Gore and give an audience in such a powerful venue as the U.S. Senate. But then, there is another message in the nature also of a dire warning of a coming doom, and the doom of which it warns is in fact worse than just environmental destruction because this doom is of eternal consequence. Meron ding mensahe ng babala na tungkol sa isang pagkawasak na mangyayari, hindi lamang pagkawasak ng kapaligiran at kalikasan, kundi pagkawasak na mayroong pangwalang hanggan na kahihinatnan. Subalit, ang mga tagapagdala ng mensaheng ito ay hindi mga kilalang taong katulad ni Al Gore at hindi binibigyan ng venue na kagaya ng U.S. Senate ang ganitong mensahe. The messengers for this warning are often anonymous and they definitely will never be invited to the U.S. Senate to recite their message among the powerful. Well, our series starting this month will highlight this anonymity and unpopularity in the person of the prophet Amos. Now, it is unfortunate that the book of Amos is put under the category of the so-called minor prophets, giving the impression that his influence was only minor compared to such major prophets as Isaiah, Jeremiah, and Daniel. Yan ang karaniwan na kategorya ni Amos, kabilang siya sa 12 huling mga aklat ng Lumang Tipan na ang karaniwang tawag ay minor prophets. But whatever can be said of the rest of the 12 minor prophets, minor influence cannot be said of Amos. In fact, Amos has become a favorite book of militants who like to quote scripture for their radicalism. Di ba? Popular na o paboritong aklat yan na mga radikal, na mga militante na gusto nilang magsita ng Biblia, ang kanilang karaniwang ginagamit ay si Amos. As we shall see, they do so only by overstretching some thoughts and abusing some facts, but you get a point. He ministered at a crucial juncture of the history of Israel, the Northern Kingdom. But who was Amos? Why was he a prophet in the first place? Turn your Bibles to the very opening of Amos, chapter 1 and verse 1. Then we'll jump to a reference in chapter 7. Amos, chapter 1, verse 1. Amos is in the last 12 books of your Bibles. So after Daniel, Hosea, Joel, Amos. Let's read Amos 1 and verse 1. The words of Amos, who was among the herdsmen of Tekoa, which he saw concerning Israel in the days of Uzziah, king of Judah, and in the days of Jeroboam, the son of Joash, king of Israel, 2 years before the earthquake. Then jump to chapter 7, verses 12 to 14. Amos 7, verses 12 to 14. Then Amaziah said to Amos, "Go, you seer, flee to the land of Judah. There eat bread and there prophesy. But never again prophesy at Bethel, for it is the king's sanctuary, and it is the royal residence." Then Amos answered and said to Amaziah, "I was no prophet, nor was I a son of a prophet, but I was a herdsman and a tender of sycamore fruit. Then the Lord took me as I followed the flock, and the Lord said to me, 'Go prophesy to my people Israel. Now therefore, hear the word of the Lord.'" Here, the opening of Amos tells us exactly what the historical context was of Amos' ministry. Sinabi ka agad kung nasaang bahagi siya ng kasaysayan, doon sa Timog o Southern Kingdom ng Judah, ang hari na naghahari ay si King Uzziah. At doon naman sa Northern Kingdom ng Israel, ang naghahari ay si Jeroboam. Kung alam niyo ang kasaysayan ng Israel nung maghati, ang Jeroboam na tinutukoy dito ay hindi yung unang hari. Ang unang-unang hari ng Northern Kingdom after the split was a man also named Jeroboam, but we are talking here of what in history is known as Jeroboam II. And there's a reference here to the earthquake. Now, archaeologists believe that they have discovered the remnants of this earthquake in the site known as Hazor, dating it back to the 8th century. What my point simply is to say that this is historical. He's not here telling you things which are merely a matter of illusion or invention of thought. He's talking of something that actually happened and that he could locate at a certain point in time, 2 years before the earthquake, he said. Now, we know that this period was one of economic prosperity for Israel. Jeroboam II undertook big building projects. The reason is because of the weakness of the enemies of Israel at this point. Because there were no enemy threat, the capital of Israel at this point, Samaria, oozed with wealth and luxury goods. So mayaman, may prosperidad ang Samaria na siyang capital ng Israel in the Northern Kingdom dahilan sa walang kaaway na nagbabanta na gawa ni Jeroboam II na tutukan ang mga proyektong pangbansa sa kanyang panahon. Kaya yumaman at naging masagana ang lalo na ang Kapitolyo ng Samaria, but morally and spiritually, the situation was depressing. The influence of Canaanite religion was at the highest. And there was moral decadence. But probably the word that would summarize it all is the word injustice. There was immorality and all that, but the word that Amos will hammer out again and again as the condition of the land was one of injustice. And into this situation, prosperous yet immoral, wealthy yet unjust, into this situation, Amos was called. And you see, he was a very unlikely person to be the one to undertake such a ministry. But it is this very fact that Amos was such an unlikely figure to be bearing such a message to such a people that Amos becomes relevant to us because such is the church. And I want to draw this message for this introduction. No matter how unacceptable to the world, the church is God's messenger to the world. That was Amos to Israel, and that is the church to the world today. No matter how unacceptable to the world, the church is God's messenger to the world. Hindi man katanggap-tanggap sa mundo, ngunit ang iglesia ay ang mensahero ng Diyos, ang tagadala ng mensahe ng Diyos dito sa mundo. You see, we are told of Amos's origin in Tekoa. Alam niyo, itong Tekoa ay isang maliit na bayan malapit sa Bethlehem. Nang ibig sabihin, ito yung nasa Judah. Isipin niyo na maliit na bayan, nasa Judah pa, pero ang buong ministeryo ni Amos na nakatala ay pawang sa Israel. Ibig sabihin, kinakailangan siyang tumawid ng pagitan ng Israel at ng Judah at nananahimik siya doon sa isang maliit na bayan at sinabi niya na siya isang pastol ng mga tupa. Doon siya tinawag ng Diyos at sa halip na magministeryo sa kanyang mga kababayan sa Judah, siya tinawag na tumawid ng pagitan at nagministeryo sa Israel. How unlikely, a man who was not really a professional prophet, if we may say so, a man who was happy in his tranquil life in a peaceful village, now brought to sa malaking gulo. The exchange with Amaziah reveals how the powers of Israel found him unacceptable. Diba, sabi ni Amaziah sa kanya, go back to your town. Preach there if you want, but not in Bethel, not in my town, in other words. But Amos undertook his prophetic ministry with remarkable boldness and courage, which should be a challenge to us today. that no matter how unacceptable, no matter how unlikely that the church should be a voice of God in a world that is occupied with its bigness and prosperity, yet the church is called to the world, and what a challenge Amos is. And the challenge is in two aspects. First, let's look at God's message amidst earthly conditions. And secondly, God's calling above earthly convenience. Sa dalawang bagay natin, makikita ang hamon sa atin bilang mensahero ng Diyos. Una ay ang mensahe ng Diyos sa gitna ng kalagayang pangmundo. At ikalawa ay ang pagtawag ng Diyos ng higit sa ginhawang pangmundo. So first of all then, God's message amidst earthly condition. Amos was called to prophetic ministry at a time that Israel felt it couldn't have been better times. Talagang masaya, masarap, masagana ang bansang Israel. Assyria, the former superpower, was somewhat in decline. Although history will prove the emergence of another powerful king in the next generation will restore Assyria and in fact will conquer Israel in the year 722 BC. But materially and socially, Samaria was in positive growth. If the king would give a state of the kingdom address, as Obama will be doing in a few days, he will be giving a very colorful report of the situation in Israel. Magandang masasabi niya, mayaman, masagana, economically positive, etc. But in that condition, they were not ready for a message of doom. A message of doom in times of prosperity was simply unacceptable. But like Amos, our message is one to awaken people from false security and comfort. Ganyan din tayo. Ang mensahe natin ay tawagin ang mga tao sa kanilang maling seguridad, sa kanilang maling kapayapaan. Kung ganun tinawag si Amos nung panahon niya, ganun pa rin ang iglesia sa ating panahon. False security is the thought that everything is all right. No fear of doom, no fear of judgment to come. And the people of Israel were like our generation in this sense. They mistook prosperity for God's approval, like we do. Pinagkakamali nila na yung prosperidad nila, kasaganaan nila ay nangangahulugang inaaprubahan sila ng Diyos. Eh, hindi ba't madalas mong maririnig yan sa mga nagpapatotoo, mahal ako ng Diyos at kaya niya, ang kininan siya ay mahal ng Diyos dahil binigyan siya ng ganito at meron siyang ganyan. Ang ibig sabihin, inaakala niya na yung kanyang prosperidad ay katunayan, katibayan na siya ay inaaprubahan ng Diyos. And the people of Israel were making this grand mistake that their prosperity is a sign and an evidence that God approved of them. If not material prosperity, there are other ways that people secure false comfort, peace. You see, one of the saddest ways is to listen to false messages of security and comfort from false messengers. And Israel was never without such false messengers. Messengers who in the time of Jeremiah were saying, peace, peace, when there is no peace. And we have plentiful of that today. Marami tayo niyan ngayon. Mga mensahero ng kapayapaan, ayaw nilang magbagabag ng mga tao ng mensahe ng katulan. Now, these messengers can be wearing professional garb of psychology or self-enhancement gurus. And if it were not so tragic, I find sometimes laughable all these claims to a happy life because of a good hair or a good skin or white complexion and all that. It would have been laughable if not tragic. But you see, the saddest messengers of false security are those who wear the garb of preachers and teachers. I'll be facing some of those this week. They will have the garb of preachers and teachers, but they won't accept the clear message that exposes men in their sins and exposes the judgment of God. This is something that is sad in our day. And Amos found himself in such a situation, a lonely preacher amidst prosperity, and all the other prophets were singing peace, peace. Now, the more contemporary picture in Amos' time was how the prophets allowed themselves to be intimidated. Listen to chapter 2, verses 11 and 12 of Amos. He said, I raised up some of your sons as prophets, and some of your young men as Nazirites. Is it not so, O you children of Israel, says the Lord? But you gave the Nazirites wine to drink, and commanded the prophets, saying, do not prophesy. So narito yung mga professionals, natanda natin, sinabi ni Amos, I'm not a prophet, I'm not a son of a prophet. Now here were the prophets and sons of prophets, and what did the king do in order to silence them? Eh, inalagaan sila ng gusto at kasama na yung pananakot, at ang punto ay huwag niyong gawin yung pagpopropesiya ng ayon sa pahayag ng Diyos. In fact, this is exactly what Amaziah was trying to do to Amos. He was trying to intimidate him. If he could not be bought, then he should be intimidated. And that's what Amaziah, the high priest, was trying to do. Stop him by intimidation. And you and I face the same treatment from the world, either to bribe us as long as our message is one of peace, or to intimidate us so as to be silent. And the challenge to us in the life of Amos is, let our message be bigger than ourselves and greater than the world's threats. Hayaan natin ang ating mensahe ay maging mas malaki kaysa sa atin at mas dakila kaysa sa pananakot ng mundo. Let our message be bigger than ourselves and greater than the world's threats. And history is often made by people with a message bigger than themselves, willing to be wrapped by it, and willing to die for it. I think of Martin Luther King Jr. It was fitting that Obama was inaugurated on January 20, just a day after the birth anniversary of Martin Luther King Jr., the great civil rights leader of the 1960s. He was he who thundered his dream, and the dream was fulfilled in Obama. And you know that in 1968, as he was speaking and working on behalf of the African-American oppressed, he was assassinated. There was a man willing to have a message bigger than himself. He could have just continued his ministry as a minister in Alabama, and yet the movement called him. Or I think of Emmeline Pankhurst, known in history simply as Mrs. Pankhurst, the leader of the women's suffrage movement, at a time that people did not even think of the possibility of women able to vote. And Mrs. Pankhurst was willing to go to prison many times for her cause. My point is, you see, history is being made by people with a message bigger than themselves. When I say message bigger than themselves, they were willing to suffer for it. They were willing even to die for it. And Amos was such a man. Yung kanyang mensahe ay naging mas malaki kaysa sa kanya. Yung kanyang mensahe ay mas mabigat kaysa sa mga banta ng kanyang mga kaaway. And you see, here is our problem. Our problem is that there are those who do not deny the message, but reduce the message by the bigness of self. And they let themselves be intimidated. They are intimidated when the message is not academically acceptable. They're afraid of becoming a laughing stock to their peers. Hindi mat may mga ganyang takot tayo kuminsan. Anong sasabihin nila? Baka ako'y pagtawanan, baka ako'y insultuhin. And anong nangyayari? Nanahimik tayo sa ating mensahe. Yan ang isang larawan ng taong hindi niya tinatanggihan ang mensahe, subalit mas malaki siya sa kanyang mensahe. He may not be denying the message, and yet he is bigger than his message. And this is one problem Christians have, Christian churches have, is that they don't reject the message. It is simply that the message is wrapped by their big selves. Itong dapat nating baguhin. We have a message about eternity. We have a message about a Savior and Lord whose claims are upon all. But nangyari nung kampanya ni Obama, young people were the most zealous to spread his message. Obama's campaign, it is now estimated, is the campaign that has used the internet most than any of his predecessors. Our message is not one that promises people that they will have a president in the White House who will fight for them, but rather one who is already Lord and King, with a kingdom now and a kingdom to come. That's our message. And I dare say it's better than Obama's message. If you deal with those who are stressed about their day-to-day food and supply, you have a message for them. If you rub shoulders with those who are influential and secure and comfortable, you too have a message for them. The question is your message bigger than you? Or you let the message be wrapped by the big self? We will have to learn to be gripped by this message and make it bigger than ourselves. It happened to Amos. He was gripped by a message that became bigger than himself. Siya'y binalot ng isang mensaheng mas malaki kaysa sa kanya. At ito ang kailangan natin, God's message amidst earthly conditions, and then secondly, God's calling above earthly convenience. Kailangan tumunod tayo sa panawagan ng Diyos ng nakahihigit kaysa ginhawang pangmundo. How did Amos come about this task of being a prophet in an unwelcome place? Amaziah told him as much that he was not welcome. He said, "Never again prophesy at Bethel, for it is the king's sanctuary and it is a temple of the kingdom." In other words, Amaziah was telling Amos, "You don't belong here. This is the big league." Di ba sa mga tournaments ng kagaya ng basketball, merong big league like PBA, pero may mga small league na mga amateur. Parang yan ito sinasabi ni Amaziah kay Amos, eh doon ka sa mga small league, doon ka Tekoa, balik ka roon, mag-prophesy, mag-preach ka roon hanggat gusto mo. Bethel ito. Wala kang puwang dito, yan ang kanyang sinasabi. In those times, in fact, the king kept a guild of prophets who, when consulted, would speak to the king's pleasure. And what did Amos say? "I was no prophet, nor a prophet's son, but I was a herdsman and a dresser of sycamore figs. But the Lord took me from following the flock. And the Lord said to me, 'Go, prophesy to my people Israel. Now therefore, hear the word of the Lord.'" And that's what we are. As message bearers, God may call us to duties that overturn our comfort and convenience. See, Amos' words indicate that he had a good life as a shepherd in a tranquil village of Tekoa, and that nothing in his family background prepared him for the ministry of being a prophet. "I'm not a prophet, I'm not a prophet's son even." He was saying, "I like my life as it is. I am a small man in a small village. What would I do in an international stage?" But Amos' explanation is keyed on God's acts. "The Lord took me. The Lord said to me, 'Go.'" So in other words, he was saying, "I was comfortable there. I had a job. I was not a bum just having patambay sa kung saan. I had a good job. I was comfortable. But why am I here? Because the Lord took me. And the Lord called me. And the Lord told me, 'Go.' And what was I to do?" So because of those acts of God, Amos was a prophet, not by initiative, not by inheritance, but pure and simple, God called him. So Amos was telling Amaziah, in effect, "Believe me, if it were left to me, I would not be here. But the Lord took me and told me." And what did Amos end up telling Amaziah? "Now, therefore, hear the word of the Lord." Oh, I like that. After Amaziah was telling Amos, you're small league, you don't belong here. And Amos tells Amaziah, the Lord called me, now you better listen to me. Now, let me turn this to a question. What convenience is an effective hindrance to the duty the Lord may be calling you for his message? What convenience is becoming an effective hindrance to the duty the Lord may call you on behalf of his message? Anong ginhawa ang nagiging mabisang hadlang sa tungkuling tinatawag sa iyo ng Diyos alang-alang sa kanyang mensahe? So I'm not just talking of your duty as a good citizen or professional or family man. I'm talking about your duty on behalf of the message. We see here the unquestioning obedience of Amos from a small village. And this is the more highlighted when you compare him to his contemporary. His contemporary at this point was the running prophet, Jonah. The prophet who ran away because he did not like the idea of ministering in Nineveh. Now, in the case of Amos, the relationship between Israel and Judah at this time was worse than tense. Hindi lang basta tense, mahigpit ang matindi ang kanilang relasyon. Years before, Jehu established himself as king of Israel by assassinating both the king of Israel and the king of Judah. That's Jehu. Now, Joash, which is mentioned in 1 verse 1 of Amos, Joash was Jehu's grandson. And in the account of Kings, this Joash pillaged villages of Judah. And nagmasaker siya ng mga tao roon. So you have an idea of what gap from comfort to discomfort that Amos had to cross just to obey. From his comfortable homeland in Tekoa, convenient, God was calling him to cross the borders to a people who have a negative attitude, to say the least, to people from Judah. But Amos was to cross that in order to minister to them. So imagine what he had to cross from comfort to discomfort just to obey. A gap that not many would be willing to cross. We are so protective of our personal comforts. In fact, some would not even be willing to cross a few feet of distance to talk to someone about the gospel. Even though providence clearly is showing it is an opportunity God is giving, we would not even cross a few feet. Amos crossed the border from comfort to discomfort because of the calling of God. Well, we will have those times when a border stares us, inviting us to cross in obedience. But obedience will mean discomfort. Obedience will mean sacrifice and cost. The way we were hearing from John Elliott this morning in our Sunday school. What is the border for you now? Is the border the catechism of a child that probably you have long wanted to do and have not done? Is it a Bible study perhaps with someone that you like but cannot begin? Is it as simple as giving a tract or etc.? There's that border. Amos had to stare. He was looking at his Tekoa sheepfold. What a comfort. And instead, God is telling him to leave his flock and get another flock. A flock not of sheep, but a flock of people who will bite. And Amos had to cross that. We saw the life of John Elliott this morning. Well, his contemporary, I did not tell you about, was Roger Williams. Roger Williams was opposed not by the Indians, but by his fellow English settlers, because he believed in the liberty of conscience. And it was a very radical idea at that time. And so he was banished from Massachusetts. He had to form his own state of Providence. He died poor. Many of his properties confiscated. And yet, there was the man who crossed his border. Inconvenient, uncomfortable, but he crossed his border nonetheless. That's what Amos did, and that's what you and I may have to be called to do. A border staring us in the face. I wonder how many nights and days Amos had to reflect on what ship and sheepfold he was leaving and forsaking, and how perhaps he thought of, why not just in my border? Why do I have to cross that border to Israel? But we're not given those reflections or any complaints. What we know is that he did cross. He did cross that border to be a witness for God, because he had a message bigger than himself. And brothers and sisters, if we are to be faithful to the message God has given to us, we have our own borders to cross, which will mean inconvenient, uncomfortable, sacrifice, costly, and perhaps leave something behind. But that's what Amos did, and he made a little history. And that's what you and I need to do. And I pray that in this time that we need such messengers, you will heed the call and accept that no matter how unwelcome you are God's messenger in this world. The church is. Let us pray. Dakila naming Diyos, kami humihiling ng iyong biyaya, ng paghamon sa amin. Nakita namin kay Amos ang isang lalaki na may sarili siyang bayan, tahimik siya sa kanyang gawain, ngunit tinawag mo siya. Tinawag mo siya sa paraang magsasakripisyo siya sa pag-iwan ng kanyang bayan at magministeryo sa mga taong ayaw sa kanya. Ngunit ito ang kanyang panawagan, and we indeed are challenged by his language, that though he was not a prophet, he was not a son of a prophet, indeed nothing prepared him for this job. Yet the explanation for him is that God called me. And may that be a sufficient explanation and motivation for some of us. Some of us may stare a border not quite like that of Amos, of having to go to another country, another people who do not welcome us. But it may still be something that calls for some sacrifice and cost on our part. Grant, Lord, that we would learn to heed your call above our earthly convenience, so that we may be your messenger in our part of the world where your message should be bigger than ourselves. Forgive us sometimes when we reduce the message to something optional, something hidden, because we need to protect ourselves. Grant, Lord, that in this time when the message is crying for proclamation, when environmentalists are not afraid to proclaim their message for nature, how dare we cower as Christians and hide a message that is much grander, much greater than any environmentalist message. So we ask, Lord, for mercy from you. Help us to be gripped by this message, and gripped by it, let it be bigger than ourselves, and help us heed the call above our convenience, and teach us, give us the courage to cross our borders. In Jesus' name we pray these things. Amen.